Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Institute for Policy Innovation podcast. We're coming to you today from the studios of Salem Media Group in Dallas, Texas. I'm Tom Giovanetti, the president of the Institute for Policy Innovation. Today's December 17th, 2020, our last podcast of the year. And today I'm joined by our resident scholar, Dr. Merrill Matthews. Dr. Matthews is going to talk to us about the earnings limit for Social Security recipients and why it's time to end it. Dr. Matthews, why on earth would we have an earnings limit of any kind on anything for any reason?
It's a good question, Tom. If Congress wants to help the near elderly, that's people just before age 65, through the financially challenging time that we're in right now, it can do so easily and with very little cost to the federal government by ending the earnings limit imposed on Social Security recipients between the ages of 62 and 66. Seniors who want to take Social Security, they can do so at full retirement. That's currently at age 66 years and 2 months, but it's on its way to age 67.
Because that ratchets up a little bit every year, right?
It does. It ratchets up a little bit. They can take full retirement and begin receiving their monthly benefit at age 62 or between age 62 and 66. But if they're older than that, they can continue to work and earn as much as they want to, however much they want to, with no penalty. But that's not true for seniors between age 62 and the full retirement age. They're allowed to begin receiving their monthly Social Security benefit, but they must limit their earnings, known as the retirement earnings test. And that limit will be $18,960 next year, that is 2021, though the limit increases a little bit for those who actually turn age 66 and then hit their retirement age in that year. So the deal is, if you're age 62 or older before the age of retirement, you can retire. You can begin your Social Security checks, but you have an earnings penalty on here that is a significant penalty for people who decide they want to continue to work. And it's this has been around for a while. For those who continue working, even if they take Social Security between that age 62 and the full retirement age at 66, the Social Security will deduct $1 for every $2 they earn above $18,960. That's essentially a 50% marginal tax rate. They impose this on people for if they make any more than that. It's an amazing tax rate, and it's extremely regressive because most of the people who take the earnings limit or who take Social Security and are hit with that earnings, they tend to be lower income people.
Well, they're, for one thing, they're people who still think they need to work.
Typically. So it's an amazing thing that they put on them, and it's been on there for some time. Now, it wasn't always this way. In fact, it actually was worse in the past. As the Congressional Research Service points out, and I'm quoting now, the retirement earnings test began as an all-or-nothing retirement test that resulted in complete benefit withholdings for any earnings after claiming retirement benefits. So when they started this, if you made any money at all after you retired and took Social Security, you lost all your benefits. They withheld the whole thing. So it was a huge effort there. And the reason they did that, they started this, and the Social Security passed in 35, gets started shortly thereafter. And the purpose was to get seniors out of the workforce so that people who you had high unemployment, remember, and they wanted to make way for them. So we wanted to try to get people out of the workforce. So if you decide to take Social Security, you lost all those benefits. They were withheld, and that way it was a not so subtle way to say, get out of the workforce so a younger person can get a job.
Well, you know, as you're describing this, I'm thinking, boy, that is a hellacious disincentive to work. And what you just explained is that was the idea.
That is exactly
the
idea.
The idea was to say, we don't want you working. We don't want you being productive.
That's exactly right. They wanted them out of the workforce so that they can make way for younger people and have more jobs available. Now, Congress has loosened these restrictions a bunch of times over the years, and they've raised the earnings limit many times over the years, until finally in 2000, Congress passed unanimously in the House and Senate, Republican House and Senate, signed by President Clinton at the time, ending the earnings penalty for people who were at full retirement age, which was 65 at that time, or older. So if you hit the full retirement age, you have no earnings penalty, as I mentioned earlier. They even prior to that, they even had an earnings penalty. It wasn't as severe on people who had hit retirement age, but you still had an earnings penalty all the way up to age 70.
And I remember this change that happened in the year 2000 because, believe it or not, we at the Institute for Policy Innovation did work on this topic.
We did.
We published papers and research about getting rid of the Social Security retirement earnings list, earnings test. I guess I had forgotten that there still remained a retirement earnings test for some portion of Social Security recipients.
Right. And then we hit the dot-com bust shortly thereafter. We hit 2001 and other things. We went into a recession. And you and I went around and talked to some members of Congress at the time to talk about you need to end this penalty on people. And the members of Congress say, I thought we ended that a few years ago.
Right.
They did, but it was for people 65 and above, not for those between 62 and 65 at the time.
And oddly enough, I mean, if you're older, you're less likely to be working, right? Than
right.
If you're a younger Social Security recipient. So it just strikes me as, I mean, what is the reason that this is still in place? Is it because of revenue, or is it just bad debris in the legal code, in the tax code, that no one's just ever bothered to clear away?
Ironically, it's not revenue, because the Congressional Research Service says ending this completely would actually have a small positive effect on Social Security.
Mm.
On the security balance. The primary reason for doing it is, as any for every year that you delay retirement, you get a little more. So if you get X number of dollars of retiring at 62, for each year you delay, Social Security has a formula and it bumps up your check. So you mm-hmm. will get more each year that you decide to delay retirement. And so AARP, which was opposed to ending this earnings penalty for people under the full retirement age, they would say that, well, we want people to wait as long as possible in order to maximize the amount of Social Security benefits they're receiving. A lot of financial planners will tell you exactly the same thing. I've heard very few people over the years say you should take Social Security whenever you want to. They encourage you to wait as long as possible because the longer you live, the more money you would end up getting. Now, the way Social Security does this is they will begin, if you take early retirement and you start receiving your Social Security benefit check, but you go back to work and you earn more than that $18,000, $19,000 figure, they will withhold money and they're supposed to give it back to you after you hit the full retirement age. However, that depends upon Social Security getting their numbers right.
Right.
You don't always want to hold on to that.
Right.
But it also means if you don't live past that time, they've withheld it and you don't necessarily get it. They encourage people to wait. Under Social Security actuaries, they essentially estimate that if you make it to age 65, you're probably going to make it another 17 years or so. So what they try to do is they try to adjust these amounts that you get each year so that if you live to roughly age 83, you'll get the same amount whether you retire at 62 at a lower check or you wait all the way till 70 when Social Security will start paying you these checks. You'll get those. You would get roughly the same amount if you lived to age 83.
Mm.
But if you don't live that long, you actually lose in that game.
Right.
But if you live to age 90, you win in it.
Mm.
And so what they're concerned about is a low-income person who retires early, is making this money. They may not, if they live a long time, they're living a long time on those lower checks. So that's why they're trying to discourage it. It makes a certain amount of sense, but people don't always have that option. And that's
right.
Where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've entered the pandemic, my goodness, a lot of people have been pushed out of jobs and they don't have, they need income. So if they're over age 62, they could say, well, I'm going to go ahead and sign up and get my Social Security check early. But let's say in 2021, the economy starts coming back. People are needed to work again. They're jobs that are available. They want to go back to work. But if they do, they're limited by that Social Security earnings limit.
You know, when you were talking about this formula, the Social Security formula, it strikes me that, I mean, there are people who, because of pre-existing conditions, or there are certain demographic groups that they're not as likely to live as long as some others. And so it strikes me that, you know, A, just by having the benefits formula rigged the way that it is, the game is rigged against them. But then it's like a double whammy if you're going to have this retirement earnings test, because those may be precisely the kind of people who want to and need to work as much as possible, and they're being discouraged from doing so.
And what Social Security has found is that those who take the early Social Security, their earnings tend to, some of them work, but their, let's say their recorded earnings, their reported earnings tend to be right there around the earnings limit amount, which doesn't surprise anybody.
Well, exactly, because there are ways you can work under the table and that sort of a thing to try to avoid taxes. You know, you were just mentioning, you know, the situation that we're in right now with COVID. But what I think is interesting is to back up a little bit to before COVID. I mean, before the pandemic hit, we had historically low unemployment rates. Mm-hmm. We had hundreds of thousands of jobs that were unfilled. I mean, businesses were crying out for workers. Yet at the same time, you have this retirement earnings test that discourages 62-year-olds from working. And it just seems to me, you know, we're supply-siders, and we believe that supply creates its own demand, and you want an abundant supply of everything you need. You want an abundant supply of financial capital. You want an abundant supply of natural resources. But you also need an abundant supply of labor. And labor can be a constraint on economic growth.
It can be.
If you can't find enough employees to fill all the jobs. So, you know, this seems like a policy that's really kind of stupid. when you have a situation where we should be encouraging more and more people to come into the economy and work. And if you're going to have the kind of restrictions on immigration that we've put on during the Trump years, that makes it even more severe, because you're saying we don't want immigrants coming in taking Americans' jobs, but then we're saying we also don't want this group of Americans to work either.
Right. And as I mentioned to you, you can begin your Social Security checks at 62, but you can wait to maybe 63, 64, 65. You don't get you get penalized if you in any of those years unless you wait until the full retirement age. So the part of the purpose of this, and this is what AARP told me back several years ago when I talked to them, is we don't want people retiring early. Okay, understand that. But it turns out 48% of women and 42% of men begin taking their retirement, Social Security retirement, at age 62.
Despite all the disincentives.
Nearly half of women begin taking it at 62, and a little less than that, but still a big number, 42% of men begin taking it at 62, and they can take it 63 or 64. But the majority of people take Social Security early, so that if you're using that as a reason to discourage people from taking early retirement, you aren't doing a very good job.
It ain't working.
it ain't working.
So what that means, though, is that literally it's not just some tiny slice of retirees who run into this retirement earnings test. It's most of them.
It's a large percentage of them. The majority of them take it before the full retirement age, mm-hmm. and they do it for various reasons. And now with the COVID, I suspect a lot of them were pushed out. If the economy starts coming back, they would like to be able, they might want to go back to work and start earning money again, mm-hmm. and won't be able to because of this earnings penalty. They just don't want to lose $1 for every two they might make above that.
Yeah.
This goes back to something that I got a call from somebody years ago who had taken retirement. He said, I had some money. I decided to retire. I took early retirement. I was doing fine. But then my mother needed to go to the hospital. She needed major surgery. I had to help her out. I paid her bills, but in order to do that, I needed to go back to work. But now I'm losing my Social Security benefits because I'm doing this. He said, I'm doing everything right.
Right.
I'm trying to make sure that my mother doesn't go onto the welfare rolls by paying her hospital and nursing home bills, but I'm being penalized for doing that. I just would like to be able to go back to work and not be penalized for that, but he was.
You have a lot of people these days who are at or near retirement age, and as you just described, are paying some of the long-term care expenses mm-hmm. of their parents who are maybe just 20 to 22 years older than they are.
Right.
You know, and it is very much a double whammy. If you are trying to support your own household, you're trying to provide for the long-term care needs of your parents, one or more parent, and then Social Security is basically saying, we don't want you to work, and if you dare do it, we're going to hit you with a 50% marginal tax rate.
And then, of course, most of them do it anyway.
Right, because they have no choice, because they have to.
They feel like they have to for some reason or the other. So at any rate, it's a bad policy. And as I pointed out, the Congressional Research Service said that eliminating this doesn't actually cost the government money. It actually is a net positive, a small one, but a net positive.
Well, let's talk a minute about why that might be, okay? Because, you know, this obviously the revenue from this 50% penalty goes to the federal government. But on the other hand, if they're working and being productive and earning money and paying taxes, they're also paying more into the Social Security system, right?
Right. And if most of them take it anyway.
Right. Exactly.
It's not like
so they're... Do you want me to continue to contribute or not?
So you might change some behavior, but people taking it are still going to take it. And then you've got the fact that if they're able to go back and work, and work more, they're able to pay taxes and offset that. So it's high time Congress ends this Social Security earnings penalty, and it would be a good way for people, both Republicans and Democrats, to step up and say, we're doing something to help seniors who are not yet 66, and yet will allow them to work, and the time's going to come when they're going to be able to work.
You know, you mentioned that the first time in the year 2000, that we were able to get rid of part of the retirement earnings test.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't help but recall that I'm pretty sure the dynamic then was a Democratic president in the White House, but Republican control of Congress.
It was, well, actually at that time it was, yes. But then you had George Bush come in, and you and I even talked to them about that. And I remember sitting down with some Republican staffers who said, well, they didn't want to support the removal of the earnings penalty for those under the full retirement age. And I said, well, do you think, if this came to the floor of the House and Senate, do you think people would vote for it? He said, oh, everybody would vote for it. Nobody would vote against this. And I said, all right, well, what's the problem? And they said, well, we're afraid Democrats will say bad things about us that we're trying to hurt seniors, and we want to try to avoid that if possible. And I said, so you're telling me that you think every member of the House and Senate, Republican, Democrat, would vote for us. Oh, absolutely. They'd vote for it. They're not going to oppose this. Mm. But you don't want to do it because you think Democrats might say you're trying to hurt seniors. Absolutely. That's what we're saying.
Well my point was going to be that maybe, you know, if we have a somewhat similar situation, political dynamic right now with the Democrat president in the White House, maybe this is a sort of reform that actually could move in next year's political environment. So maybe we should try to make a big deal out of this. But, you know, you got to come up with a creative name. Like, you'd have to call it, like, the retirement earnings test is, like, boring and technical, right?
Yes.
You'd have to come up with something like the tax on working seniors.
There you go.
Or something like that, right? And time to end the tax on working seniors. And maybe we could build a campaign around that. Well, listen, thanks so much for going through this with us and bringing this to our attention. I imagine what you're describing is largely unknown and unappreciated unless you're one of the seniors in that group that has to pay that penalty, or that at least it looms large in your decision making about whether you work or not.
Or you're a policy nerd who looks for these
things. Exactly. Speaking of which, you can find a lot more, and I mean a lot more, about Social Security reform, Social Security policy, retirement policy, marginal tax rates, all the things we've talked about today on our website at ipi.org. If you've enjoyed this podcast, how about giving us a favorable review on iTunes or on your favorite podcasting platform? Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.